God's grace and peace to us all as we strive to live in that gospel, celebrate his gospel goodness, and share it lovingly with others. Amen. A little boy in Sunday school asked his teacher, "Why is it important to stay quiet in church?" And the teacher said, "Well, what do you think is the reason?" The little boy answered, "So we don't wake up those who are sleeping." Well, I don't think God wants people sleeping in church. I don't think he ever did. And yet it is that goal, not only of waking us up, but can we say seeking us out, loving us into his family and his kingdom. That's what this whole story for these last 29 weeks has been about. God is seeking, reaching, even giving and living and dying and rising again, all so that we might be his loved, awoke people clinging to him. And it's in this body of Christ now that Jesus sends us out. We have that being sent out. We heard it in the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And that's the mission that Paul also sees. Today's focus is on him. And if you looked at the email we sent out, or if you looked at the list of all the scriptures that made up this chapter, you probably just would have hung your head and said, "Oh my goodness." There are like 32 references of different chapters, but so much is happening in God's story. The activity of Paul, then once he's in jail and in prison, the letters that he writes that make up so much of the New Testament. All of this, God's gift to strengthen us. The story to see it in action, the letters to help us live it out here and now today, and to remember, as Paul crystallizes in so well in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "For you are the body of Christ, and every one of you is a part of it." Jesus has returned to the right hand of God. He's interceding before the Father for us. He promises to be with us in a spiritual way through his Holy Spirit. But today, you and I are the hands, the feet, the loving arms, the busy legs walking and going and serving. We are the body of Christ today. We are his living presence. And just as important as the real presence of Christ is in communion, so is this essential role that we have to be his body in the church. I think if you were going to boil down what God has to say about his mission, boil down what Paul tries to capture of that in all of his writings, it would be this. God is saying, "I've loved you with an everlasting love and saved you. And now I send you out. You are my plan A. I don't have, and I don't need a plan B, because you will be my witnesses. You will share the gospel. You will help others to believe. And there will be signs that will go with it." We see those signs in the Apostle Paul as he does the miracles that were described there in today's gospel reading, the healing of the sick, as we see demons being driven out in Jesus' name. And we see the effect that that has on people, the effect that they are moved and seek even to use that power themselves when they don't know how. You know, you can imagine if someone figures out your PIN number, they might try to use your ATM card, or whatever you want to call that, identity theft. And something similar is happening in our first reading that we heard today. We have these seven sons of Sceva. That'll roll off your tongue. The seven sons of Sceva who don't trust in Jesus Christ, but just like using the PIN number on someone else's ATM card, they figure if they do what they've seen Paul do, they'll get the same results. So they have this weird moment where they say, you know, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come, this demon, come out of him." Strange thing to try to use someone else's power. Try to not believe in this manifestation of God through his son, Jesus Christ, but use his name. We dare not be the same kind of people that would just use the power of God, use the promises of God, and not trust in them ourselves. In that story, in that moment when that's happening, as he's sharing and doing that, they see something. And the demon says, as we have him speaking, demon speaking to Jesus in the Gospels, we have them speaking here in the book of Acts. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know about. Who are you? If we are the ones who are in the vine, as Jesus, we are branches, he's the vine, we are the branches. If we are the ones who are in his body, as he promises us to be, we're trusting and relying on the life-giving flow of grace and goodness that he gives us through his Spirit, through his word, through the sacraments, then we can answer that question. But if we're just trying to use the power that Paul at one point writes, have a form of godliness, but really not trust in and rely on its power, then we miss what God has meant for the church. And honestly, I think we leave the world and ourselves weaker for it. It'd be like trying to cast a vote, but never going in and bringing our ballot. It would be like trying to say, I love you, but never speaking the words or showing the gestures. It would be empty and have no effect. But God is inviting his church to so much more, to go into the world, to witness to Jesus Christ. He says it in Acts chapter 1, you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, to the people closest to you, within the church, encouraging one another. You'll be my witnesses also in Judea, all other Christians, this wonderful thing that was done together of the school kits and the quilts put together and being shipped around the world. Into Samaria, even to strangers we don't know, receiving those blessings, receiving our words, seeing and watching and noticing our witness. And then Jesus says, by a miracle, a mystery we don't fully understand, even to the very ends of the earth. The Apostle Thomas, tradition tells us, made it all the way to India. The Apostle Paul made it all the way to Rome. There are messages of the second generation of disciples making it all the way to Great Britain and down in through Africa and beyond. Today, 2.2 billion or so Christians fill this world of every nation, tribe, and tongue. And God is calling each of us to witness to his love. He wants people in the utmost parts of the earth to know about his goodness, to hear this good news that Jesus Christ came and lived for us, died for our sins, rose again for our justification, and is even now preparing a place to take us where we will be beyond politics, beyond disease, beyond darkness, beyond suffering or tears or death itself. This is the gift that he gives. And he will raise up people to do it. He rose up the Apostle Paul. I think we'll talk about it in Bible class, but Paul had to be the guy that originated the idea of frequent flyer programs or frequent miles on his boat, whatever it is that you want to call it. But he was one of the most wide travelers of all time. Planting so many churches, speaking to and changing so many people's lives and eternities. You and I don't need to duplicate Paul, but we can, by your effort and yours and yours and yours and mine added together, we can begin also to do the same things. Be his witnesses, share, encourage, invite. This is all happening, all of this, the gift that he offers to us, because God wanted to give us the good news we need, but also wanted us to share the good news that the rest of the world needs. As we remember these stories of Paul and God working among all the apostles, we know he wants it to continue on through us, and we pray his Spirit will fill us with power and love and a sound mind, the courage in his Spirit to go and do likewise. May God be glorified as we do. Amen.